We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jason Smith that asked Vince who our top five running backs and top five quarterbacks this year are. And I'm not going to answer that one just yet, Jason, because I haven't really sat down and
for all of college football.
Oh, but wow. Jason, that will definitely be something we discuss this offseason. Vince and I have already talked about that. We're going to have a series of shows where the end topic of conversation will be doing rankings, you know, position best offenses, best defenses. Top 25, league, you know, Big Ten picks, SEC picks, all that stuff. We're going to do a lot more of that this summer. But this will give us more time to let the spring rosters kind of change with all the portal stuff, and then we can kind of get a sense of who won jobs and all that kind of stuff and who's back and who's where. Because I could tell you, I think this quarterback at so-and-so is top five, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere he transfers to somewhere else or isn't top five. Right. Some kid transfers, and all of a sudden he may be because he's going somewhere else. But we will do that, Jason, but we'll just get to that more in the summer. But that's going to be a very fun topic of conversation. But, man, that Oklahoma drill got me a little fired up, man. I'm super pumped about that one.
Josh Buffo says, was Notre Dame that close to a title in 15, 18, or 20 if they had an elite quarterback? If they had Trevor Lawrence in 18 or 20 or Malik in 15, do they win the Natty in those years?
No, I think the year that you're missing is 17. Because in 2020, that was still a flawed roster. Your best receivers were Javon McKinley and Ben Skoranek. Those are good players, but those aren't let's go beat 2020 version of Bama, right? Like, if you had a better quarterback in 2020, Notre Dame's more competitive against Alabama. They probably still don't win that game. 2018, even if you know, let's say you gave Notre Dame either Tua or Kyler Murray, they might have beat Clemson that year. Might have. 2015, they did have a big-time quarterback. But none of those guys were going to overcome having Brian Van Gorder as your defensive coordinator. 2017 is the year that if you plug Trevor Lawrence or Malik Zaire even, but more so Trevor Lawrence, I've always said Lamar Jackson would be my pick for that one. If you could, because he was in college football that year, If you can put Lamar Jackson on that Notre Dame 17 team, nobody beats that team. Because also part of it is the matchups. Like, I don't care who you give a quarterback. You could give Notre Dame the best college quarterback of all time in 2019, and they're still not touching LSU. Just because the overall roster couldn't hang with that football team. 17 had so many pieces that you need to be great, and it was a down year where the team there weren't the great elite. Like, name me any team from the 17 playoff. They all get smoked by everybody except Oklahoma in the 18 playoffs, in my opinion. 18 Notre Dame smacked 17 Georgia in the mouth, in my opinion, with the makeup of who they were.
Sure.
And you know, and I think they would have beat 17 Bama. I think Notre Dame 18 could have beat 18 Bama. They just couldn't beat 18 Clemson. That's the problem, because that's the matchup they got. But 17, if you give me an elite quarterback in 17, especially one that's mobile, nobody beats that 17 team. Nobody. But 15 still has Brian McGorder as the defensive coordinator. So it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I mean, look, guys, Sean Kizer was pretty flipping good in 2015. He wasn't good in 16, but the combination of Malik and Deshaun were pretty good in 15. But the problem was defense. I mean, Deshaun scored a touchdown with 30 seconds left to go up on a top five Stanford team, and they still lost. Why? Brian Van Gordon.
Because the defense gave up. And, you know? Like, they just went right down the field. Did get
yeah. Let's goal, drop Romeo Okwara into coverage.
Jeez.
You know? Yeah, smart move.
Oh, my goodness. It was like a hot knife through butter. Like,
yeah.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Notre Dame 2-1-6-4. Al Washington did a much better job coaching the D-line last year. you guys think his recruiting will catch up to him eventually, or will he be able to coach these kids up enough to win a title?
Well, I think he can coach them up enough to win a title, but they're not going to win a title necessarily because of him. Because here's the thing about the current team he has. He didn't really recruit this group. Maybe Bubakar. He didn't recruit Jordan Patel. He didn't recruit Riley Mills. He didn't recruit Howard Cross. He didn't recruit Gabriel Rubio. He didn't recruit Jason Onye. He didn't recruit he kind of recruited RJ Oben in the portal, but he didn't develop him. It's just, you know, he didn't recruit Josh Burnham. So, I mean, he's going to have to recruit better. Simple as that. He's going to have to recruit better. Last year was a positive step, not a giant step, but a positive step. And this year has been a little bit, you know, but there's some good there. I mean, we're frustrated about what's happening now, but let's not forget that they have Christopher Burgess in the class. Let's not forget they have Davion Dixon in the class. So, like, what I don't want to do is just, it's all or nothing. I'm either going to crush him and ignore the good things he's done, or I'm going to praise him and ignore the bad things he's done. That's the enigma that is Al Washington.
Yeah.
You can point to some really good wins that he's had. Chris Burgess was a big win. Ohio State wanted him. Michigan wanted him. That was a big, big win by Al Washington. Davion Dixon was a very good win for Al Washington. The evaluation of Joe, I was told that Al Washington was on the Joseph Reif bandwagon going back to the summer camp when Joseph looked great in camp. I love that evaluation. So there have been those positives that you can't ignore. But then there's the other ones that you're just like, that's so unnecessary that it almost kind of makes me not enjoy this success as much, because you're not like, if just as simple as go get Marco Jones, and I'm like, all right, the answer to this question is yes, his recruiting is going to catch up. That's the frustrating thing, is because of those things. And somebody said all of his losses are NIL kids. That's not true. That's not true. There have been plenty of those situations where they didn't recruit a kid or whatever the case be, and we've got to stop using NILs as boogeyman for every kid that they don't want, right? It's just the fact of the matter. And so, but that's my issue with this, Vince, is there's too much of it's one or the other. It's either he's a terrible recruiter and we're going to ignore all the wins, or he's a bad recruiter, you know, or he's a good recruiter and we're going to ignore all the mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, would he ultimately have got Justin Scott? Looking back on it, probably not. But that doesn't erase the fact that the way he handled that recruitment was not good. You know what I mean? The Damian Shanklin one, that's one I don't really fault them for. I don't know what else they could have done with Damian Shanklin. I just don't think he necessarily loves Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I don't.
That happens.
You know? But the Marco Jones one, if that in fact goes that way, that's a mistake. It's those self-inflicted wounds. So the reality with Al Washington is it's frustrating that you have those misses, because he is so close with so many other, like the Cole Mons evaluation, I loved. Loved it. Loved that evaluation. Loved the Logan Thomas evaluation. But it's some of those other ones that really drive me nuts, that really frustrate me. So, yeah, he's got to do better, but he's not as far away as some people make him out to be. That's the thing, is we need to be able to have honest conversations. And the problem is you get those people that are going to defend him no matter what and just ignore the mistakes. And I feel like they're doing that as partly a pushback to the people that will only criticize him and never give him credit for the wins that he does have. And I think both sides make mistakes there. And so he did a much better job coaching this year. He's got to keep that going. He's got to figure out how to get something from the Viper position. And they just stop these unforced errors in recruiting. Just like, you lose Damian Shanklin, like Detroit Hunters, lose NIL guys. Okay, cool. You lost an NIL guy. Let's say Damian Shanklin's an NIL guy. But you're now you're compounding that mistake by not being all over like Marco Jones and Javion Campbell, who's a different position. Like, it's those type of mistakes to me that are frustrating. And if you just eliminate those, then we're good, because he's got the wins that we love, the Burgess, the Dixons, the other guys that are wins. There's been some very good wins too. Al Washington is the biggest enigma on the staff, because there's so much good that you look at, but then there's just like the what that makes it a little bit frustrating, to be honest with you.
Andy Milton fan, as an OC, what are Mike Denbrock's best qualities? Play design, development, managing staff, etc.
I think development is one. I think understanding what his talent is and how to properly use it would be number two. play design is kind of part of that. Like, but I've never watched Mike Denbrock and been like, this guy is an offensive guru, like a Lincoln Riley, like, you know, some of these other guys that are just like super creative play, Lane Kiffin. He's more of a, I know what I have and I know how to put that talent in position to go out and dominate. You know what I mean, Vince? Like, that's also smart though. It's just not smart in the ooh, that guy's running on a concept nobody else does kind of way. You know what I mean? But you got to be a smart football guy. I know this kid, and I know the best way to make this kid the best version of himself. I think those are his strengths, in my opinion. And then he's also really good at building confidence in his players. He's always been really good at that. Even if he has a game plan, you and I'd look at him like, that's not really the most complex game plan in the world. It's good. But the kids are going to go into that game plan thinking that they've got the world's greatest game plan. That's an important thing to do. And I also think he understands, I don't need to be the smartest guy in the world. I don't need to have this giant play sheet to show how smart I am to everybody. I'm going to do things that allow my kids to play fast, play smart, play strong. Like he does. When I'm going to be doing the LSU breakdown coming up, they don't run a million different pass concepts, but they run the same concepts out of a lot of different looks, and they check into things because they know this is the look we want to run that against. And he calls things that fit his players. And so, you know, it's like that concept I broke down on film. It's like he saw, I got a matchup against Kyle Hamilton that I know we can win. And so they ran a play. They went right back to the line of scrimmage, ran that play again. It was a smash concept, basically. Vince, out of trips. That's all it was. But it was the matchup that he got. Let's get this matchup because that guy can't guard that guy in that matchup. It may not be a play that reinvents the wheel, but it still counts as 6 points. It
doesn't have to be.
Because it's about matchups. Your guy can't cover my guy. So my job is whatever we're calling to make sure we can get as many of those matchups as possible. That's the other way to be a really, really smart football coach beyond just, let me go design a million different air raid plays that no one's ever seen before. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not insulting that. That works too. But I believe the guys that are about the players, not the scheme, are the guys that keep winning championships. And that's been proven true. All right, Todd Monken did not reinvent the wheel play calling wise, but he just knew how to use his personnel and knew how to get matchups and create openings in space that he did. And Mike Denbrock's pretty good at that stuff as well. Anything you'd add to that, Vince?
I just think that we've seen him be able to grow, obviously, from the beginning of his OC career until now. And it feels like this is where, at this moment in time, is like the perfect opportunity for him to be at Notre Dame, because I think he's made his mistakes. He's learned, he's done all these different things. And so I think understanding the personnel is obviously a big one, but it's just a little piece of all of this that I think makes him into the right candidate at the right time at Notre Dame. I just think he has a little piece of all of it. Nothing stands out from each specific one. And like you said, he doesn't need to be a guy that's reinventing college football. That's not necessary. I you and I have talked about this a bunch. If a play works, or if a matchup that you know is going to work, do it. Like, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. Sometimes it's the simplest solution that is going to be the most effective. And I think that is who Mike Denbrock actually is. I think he has the ability to witness this and figure it out. And he's able to, you know, not afraid to make it happen and not have to be the smartest guy in the room. I think that's a big piece of who he is.
Yeah. Agree with that. Let's go to a couple more here. I'll read this one, Vince, because this is for you. Vince, what would you do if your son turned down a scholarship to kick at Notre Dame and instead went to Ohio State?
Oh my gosh, dude, why are you bringing the apocalypse down in my house?
Can I answer this? Can I predict what you would do?
Yeah.
Hey, Vince, how many kids do you have? 4.
And in case anybody doesn't know, I currently have 5.
That's right. So
that would be mean. One is
how many kids do you have? I have 4. Who's your oldest kid? My twins.
Are you kidding me? There is no way that would happen. Like, that is not even in the realm of a possibility of even happening. And here's why. And this is an actual serious response to this question. My son actually very much values education. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to compare Notre Dame and Ohio State from an academic standpoint, he's going to pick Notre Dame. And that has nothing to do with my passion for Notre Dame, my hatred of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That is actually a legit conversation. Because, look, I'm already preparing myself for these legit conversations I'm going to have with my kid where we're comparing one school to the other. And I may have a passionate dislike for their athletic, you know, whatever, right? But it's got to be what's best for him. It would be an academic decision. Notre Dame wins that hands down. So that would never be a problem.
Yeah. So. My only thing is I can also see him wanting to get away and go kind of, you know what I mean? But I still don't think it'd be in Ohio State. I think he'd go to Duke.
Yeah.
If like Notre Dame and Ohio State were recruiting him, he'd probably have an offer from Duke, from Carolina.
Sure.
From UVA, something, you know what I mean? And I think if he wanted to get away from home, he'd do that instead of that. Because Vince Ray's Dylan Wright. He knows not to go to that school.
Yeah.
Sorry, Archer, but he knows better than anything. So, I love that question.
It's a great question, though. That is hilarious. That is. We are not in that stratosphere yet, though. So that's not a conversation we're going to have yet.
Yeah. Love it. That's great.
It's so funny.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
PA Irish guy, is there a backup plan if they don't land Dallas Golden? What's the cornerback board look like at this point?
They're actually doing a really good job of keeping the board big, like big-ish. Like there's like five guys on the board. So obviously they've already got Cree Thomas in the class. They're recruiting Dallas Golden hard. He's a must-get guy. Mark Zachary's a must-get guy. But you also have Jameer Joseph on the board, who's a really good football player from New Jersey. And then they also recently offered Tristan Haynes out of Oklahoma, and he's going to be visiting soon. Ryan had an update on him on the board. I believe we published on the site. There's been some weird stuff going on, you know, with the sites as we're transitioning from one thing to the other, and we'll get that back. We're actually kind of already got it back up and rolling a little bit. But so they've got five guys on the board for minimum two. They need at least two. They'd like three more. But so they only got a bat 40%, right, or bat 400 on the remaining prospects to get to their need, the numbers need. And they're all good football players. Now, obviously, Golden and Zachary are at the top of the board, but if they get one of those two and end up with Jameer Joseph or Tristan Haynes, that's still a really good corner class. It's a really good corner class. It's just not holy moly program-defining corner class the way it would be if you got Zachary, Golden, and one of those kids, which is ultimately what they want, what they're trying to do in this class. But yes, the backup plan, and I don't even want to use that word backup plan, because Notre Dame doesn't view Jameer Joseph and Tristan Haynes as backup plans. They view them as these guys can play for us. It's that doesn't mean that this guy might not be the must get, because the thing about Dallas Golden is not that he's just a must get for corner, but I've said that kid could start at field corner, boundary corner, nickel, field safety, boundary safety, slot receiver, or running back. He could literally play for Notre Dame in seven different spots. That's they're just the number of guys that can do that in the country, you count on one hand. And so that's partly what makes him so important. where Tristan Haynes is a corner. Jameer Joseph is a corner that can maybe play safety or nickel, but like those guys are all DBs. If Dallas Golden said tomorrow, I want to play offense, I'd say, all right, cool. Recruit him at receiver and or maybe even running back and have him be a Jeremiah Love type of guy or theoretic type of guy. Go for it. I'd still want him, you know, and there just aren't many guys like that. So I don't even, they have a very smart plan to make sure that this corner class is going to be strong and deep, but I just don't want to use the word backup because they don't view it as a backup. Just because backup plan makes it seem like, well, we didn't get that guy, so let's settle for this other guy.
See what else is out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. But they're not putting all their eggs in the basket of two kids, and if they miss out, they're screwed, and now they're having to go to a legitimate backup plan. That's kind of what I mean by that. But it's a, I hope that answers your question. And there's another one that's kind of similar to that, Vince. And it's John Smith. He says, who do you think will be the three cornerbacks that join Cree in the 25 class? Golden Haynes, Zachary, and Joseph, I believe, are the four they are still recruiting. Am I missing anyone? No, you're not missing anyone, although that list could expand. Who do I think? The only guy that I still believe that Zachary and Joseph are, or Zachary and Golden are the top two guys. I still feel that way. I still think Notre Dame is a team to beat with both players. The question is then, do they add another guy, a fourth guy? Can they get Joseph or Haynes? That's more of the question, but I still don't have any reason to believe that they're not the team to beat for those other two guys. Now, with Zachary, I think they're closer to closing that one down. Golden is still a work in progress for some reasons that aren't necessarily because of Notre Dame, but I still think they're in a great position there. But you still got to hold off some other teams. He wants to take those officials. Florida State's pushing hard for him. Clemson's pushing hard for him. So you still have some teams you got to beat for Dallas Golden, but I still like where Notre Dame is there. They just got to close on that one. But Mark Zachary, I think Notre Dame has clearly established themselves as the team to beat there.
Andy Milton fan, buy or sell? Ooh, a little rapid fire question. Of the new Power 5 teams, Power 4, SMU is the first to win a national championship.
So are we talking about new Power 5 from the last 2 years?
So like coming up from the group of five?
Yeah, because if we're only talking about new this year, then the answer is yes, because they're the only new Power 5 team this year. Correct?
Yeah. Yes, because they're all the other ones are just moving around.
Well, the other ones are from last year.
Right. They're just right. That's what I'm saying.
So like UCF is new Power 5, but that's last year.
Cincinnati's
a new Power 5 last year. BYU, new Power 5 last year. So those are all from last year. So if we're gonna include all of them, I would say SMU probably has the best chance to win a national championship first, just because of the current makeup of the staff. I would have argued Cincinnati if they had a competent coach.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think Scott Satterfield is a competent coach. I mean, because, guys, Cincinnati was in the college football playoff 2 years ago.
Sure.
And so, like, if Luke Fickell would have stayed or if they would have made a better hire when he left than Scott Satterfield, then I think Cincinnati could be that. And the league that they're in is easier to climb than SMU that has to overcome Florida State and Clemson and, you know, teams like that if they had a competent coach. So based on the current makeup of the coaching staffs, I'd go with SMU. If Cincinnati quickly realizes that this is a disaster hire and moves on quickly and goes and gets back on track, because they had some really good hires. They had a couple bad ones. Scatterfield's a bad hire. I think Tuberville was a solid hire. Butch Jones was an okay hire. But they've also hit some home runs. Luke Fickell was a darn good hire. I mean, I think Luke Fickell is a great hire for Cincinnati. I don't think he'd be a great hire for Notre Dame. It's a great hire for Cincinnati.
Sure.
Did a great job at Cincinnati.
Sure.
He made great hires of the coaches he brought in.
Absolutely. And
Brian Kelly was obviously a home run hire. So Cincinnati's had, and then Mark D'Antonio was the head coach before that. So they've had some good head coaches. Scott Satterfield is a bad hire.
Not one of them.
Yeah, it's just a bad hire. He needs to get back to the Carolinas and back to the South where he fits and belongs, because he's just not a – he's been a very disappointing football coach, because I liked what he did at App State. I thought he did some really nice things at App State. But BYU is not a team that I think is going to do that. UCF is not a team that – UCF could have been. I'm just not a huge Gus Malzahn fan, to be honest with you. But UCF's a team that could, if they made the right hire, could jump to the top of that list I just think the current makeup just of the
because of like where they're located and the chance to just
kind yeah. I mean, they've been a great team before. Yeah, they get a lot of those three-star Florida kids that end up being studs and be athletic and just you know, if they can hit it right at quarterback, then they could be really, really good. I mean, if they go out and get a portal quarterback, but like what portal quarterback wants to play in Gus's offense?
Fair enough.
I mean, yeah, he produced Cam Newton, but like,
I mean,
modern day quarterbacks don't want to play in that run heavy offense.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, you know, they're kind of running backs first and then passers second. That was 13, 14 years ago now. It's a different era.
Right.
And so it's just, that's a little tougher. But if all things being equal, I would rank it UCF, Cincinnati, SMU, BYU. It's how I would rank it if all things were equal.
Okay.
Yep.
Lucky Ducks 512. Who is the one kid that you'd love Notre Dame to land in the 26 class?
So way too early for that now.
Man, no kidding.
But they're like, as far as, because there's so many kids I haven't seen yet, but the one kid that I've just fallen in love with as a player that I'd love to see Notre Dame get, and he's not the best guy on the board. It's just, dude, I love this kid. It's Joey O'Brien, the cornerback from LaSalle College in Philadelphia. 6'3" corner, could play receiver, could play safety. He's the kid that I like the most in that class. So he's definitely one that I would like to get. I'll have a better sense when we get out of spring and I get caught up on everything. Lucky Ducks about who I like the most. Vince, I'll go ahead and read this last
one. So early.
All right, go ahead. I'll read Nancy's last one since it's for me. He said, Jason Smith says, I know you're growing IB and have plans to expand some things in the future. Is there any plans for IB to do their own recruiting rankings, or is that a can of worms that likely stays closed? You know, I've tried to do that, Jason, in the past, but it takes so much time to study all the film needed to have a really ranking that's meaningful that I stopped doing it for IB and just focus on the current players. But CFB Nation is still a plan. I mean, look, guys, doing this is what I plan to do until I retire. And I'm not someone who would do well in retiring young. Like if I won the lottery tomorrow and was a billionaire, I'm still working. I like to work. I just was raised that way. You know what I mean? Like I just don't want to sit around. I may take more summers off and hire people so I could take some time off, but I'm still going to work. I may work on the road more. You know, buy that RV that Ange and I talked about.
Yeah.
Spend the summer going to baseball stadiums, in the fall going to these, and then do shows from the RV, right? But I'm still going to work. You know, like that's just how I am. I have all types of what's my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, my 20-year plan, but always making sure that the now is the prime focus. But I had a business meeting today with someone that I talked to him about, you know, the potential to eventually launch CFB Nation as an entity. That would be where we would do more of that stuff, because I'd be hiring people to cover that specifically. That's where I would want to go with more of that stuff. So yes, it's in the plans, but it's a little bit down the road plan to get to that point in time. So, but yes, it is not going to stay closed. It's just, I probably launched CFB Nation too soon. You know, the YouTube channel and the pod, because it's just, I haven't had the ability and I wasn't quite where I needed to be to grow that platform the way I want to. I probably should have waited another year to do that. And that's why, so we don't do a lot on the YouTube channel anymore. We've got the two shows on that channel. I'm eventually going to grow that, but with some of the things that have happened with Apple and SI and all this kind of stuff, I had to devote so much attention to getting IB right that I haven't been able to commit to that. But we will eventually get there. It's just, IB was starting to take a little bit of a back seat because of all the things I had on my plate, and I had to kind of fix that and get IB back to good health. So, but eventually CFB Nation will be that. Will absolutely be that, and we'll get to that point in time. So thank you for that question, Jason. So that's going to do it for today's show, everybody. Thank you all so very much. I should have saved Matt D's thing that he had at the top of the show, because my guy Matt D had put on there that he wanted to remind everybody to hit that like. Actually, I think I might have found it, Vince. Where are you at, Matt D? I know he has it. Here we go. Make sure you hit that like button, everybody. Share this podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. it certainly helps the show. There's no doubt about that. Subscribe to the IB message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com if you haven't already done so, because it is the best intel in Indy football. I appreciate that. And I don't know if we have the best intel or not. We certainly work at it. But the one thing we definitely do is we have the best analysis.
Oh, my goodness. The video series that you've been doing on Mike Denbrock's offense. Chef's
and we're
kiss.
Not even halfway done, buddy. I haven't even gotten to the pass game yet. So, yeah, we're going
to
do that.
Need to check it out.
Thanks, Matt D, for that. But boards.irishbreakdown.com. Actually, I'm going to put that in the chat right now. This is where you guys can go sign up. We've already had some people. We've had two people sign up during the show. The rest of you, I promise you, you're missing out, and you'll be happy that you made that decision. Even if we raise the price soon, it's still going to be cheaper than anything else out there. Now, some people offer you deals, cheap for this first year, but then the next year when you re-up, it's going to be more expensive. This is our price. This is what we do.
And yeah, so we don't have sales. Like
we'll give you discounts to the app. Sure. So if you sign up for an annual membership, you get a 20% off your entire purchase discount in the IB store. So if you're ever like, I want to join the board and I want to buy some gear, do them together. Join the board first. Yeah. I send you a thank you email. It's got all links to different things. And then it also has the discount code for the store. If you do monthly, you get 10% off. If you do annual, you get 20% off. And then, of course, if you do one of the membership options, the Booster Club options, you actually get some free merch anyway. So definitely check those out at boards.irishbreakdown.com. So for Vince, I'm Brian. Thank you all so, so very much. I enjoyed it, OG. I'll be back tomorrow. Actually, you and I will both be back tomorrow for a practice report, right? So we'll get some practice access tomorrow. Thursday, we're going to have Deanna Gumpf, the head softball coach in Notre Dame, will be on the show at 1 o'clock. That is going to be our fundraiser day. We are trying to strike out cancer. So every super chat dime that we get that day, I will donate to the charity. Irish Breakdown will also match whatever you guys give in super chats. We will match per every penny of that up to $500. So I'm hoping that we can raise $1,000 directly. And then of course people can give their own money to it directly. We'll have the links for that as well. And then she's going to be here to talk about the softball team and all that type of stuff. And so definitely a different team this year, Vince. The long ball is not the part of the game like it was last year, but they got 20 wins again. She's probably going to be in the NCAA tournament again for the 20 something straight year. So, she's a legend. And as we pointed out last year, she is the all-time winningest female coach at Notre Dame, right? Because she passed Muffet McGraw last year. She's excellent. We really appreciate Coach Gump coming on show. And she does it live, which we appreciate. She doesn't necessarily record it.
That's awesome.
And all that. She comes live. She's willing to answer some questions. So she's awesome. Very excited to have her on the show.
You need to ask her how she, balances, coaching her team, but then her son. Yeah. Starting in right field for the baseball team.
Yeah,
a stone's throw away. Him
last year, I think, and he wasn't really playing a whole lot, but now he is.
He's starting right field at least every time I've seen the starting lineup. Yep. So,
and I have three nieces that are really good softball players of their different ages, and so I'm going to try to pick her brain a little bit about, the advice she'd give to young players trying to make this something that's they can maybe play at the next level. So, going to be a lot of fun. So, that's on Thursday. And then Friday, the guys will be back for the recruiting hour. So very, very busy week, everybody. But you'll see this crew again tomorrow to talk about what we saw at practice.
Yes.
So for Vince, I'm Brian. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And we'll see you all again very soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.